This is Right from the Deep.
I'm Karen Ball.
And I'm Erin Taylor Young. And this is the podcast from writers for writers, answering the question,
why am I doing this?
As writers, editors,
and a former literary agent,
we're in the deep with you.
Bringing interviews, inspiration, and information to encourage, refresh, and equip you to embrace the deep, to find your truest story, your truest message in the deep places.
You can get the episode show notes, lots more information and encouragement, and your free audio download, 5 crucial ways to safeguard your writer's heart at writefromthedeep.com. It's time for fun stuff.
Yay!
Do you know what's almost here? It is almost time for the Mount Hermon Writers Conference in Felton, California. Erin and I will both be there. We will be leading the professional writers retreat, but we'll be around so you can stop and say hey to us March 23rd through 27th.
And we are so excited. We hope that you guys can come, and we're excited because we're going to have a few drop-ins in our class, and it'll be Francine Rivers and Liz Curtis Higgs and Thomas Umstead Jr. So we're excited. So we would love for you guys to come and learn and worship amongst the beautiful, beautiful setting of Mount Hermon.
And fun stuff number two, our very first new and sparkly co-written book, Finding and Working with an Editor, is up for pre-order.
Woo-hoo!
You can find it on Amazon.com.
That's right. And here's the thing. Karen's been an editor for since the dawn of time.
5,000 years.
And she knows everything.
Yeah.
Or mostly everything. And so we've drawn on mostly her experience and just a bit of mine. And we put together a guide for you, and we're super excited for those of you who want to improve your writing. Sooner or later, you will be working with an editor, and this book gives you all the tips and tricks and know-hows to make it as painless and productive as possible.
And now, here's the show. Welcome, you guys, to Right from the Deep. We are excited to have you here, and we are excited to have a guest with us today. So, Erin, tell us about this wonderful guest.
Did you guys catch that? I get to do the intro. And part of that is because our guest, I have known our guest for several years now, and she's a friend of mine. Kara Grandall is a historical romance novelist who writes about the early settlers of the Pacific Northwest. So think trappers and loggers and scroungy-backed woodsmen is what she's
the men's
she would say.
Men.
She's represented by Bob Hostetler and the Steve Lobby Agency. Now, see, Karen used to be our agent, okay?
Yes,
the most fabulous agent in the whole wide world.
Yes, so that's kind of
how we met. So anyway, Kara is also doing a podcast. You guys might want to check that out. It's called Life Caraphrased, and we'll have a link to that. She leads the Author for the Author Writers Group on Facebook, which is now home to 190 writers. So there's those things about her, you guys. And I could tell you that she's a wife and a mom and busy with her kids' schooling and volleyball and all these things. But what I really admire about Kara is her heart. Kara is a person that listens to God, that she's attentive to what God wants to do in her life. And she's obedient to that. And we're super excited to have her on the podcast today. Welcome, Kara.
Yay. I'm glad to be here. And it's like a reunion. Thank you for the opportunity to hang out with my friends.
I know. It's so exciting.
See you in person.
Well, Kara, as you know, here on this podcast, we talk about writing from the deep. And so Erin and I both explain to our guests what the deep means to us. And for me, it's being in those deep places of struggle and difficulty and trial and having to rely on God. Erin, you want to tell her?
Well, for me, it's those deep places with God. It's breathing him in when you're otherwise drowning in the deep. So it's that intimate time with God.
And we always like to ask our guests, what does the deep mean to you?
Well, I just think in different seasons, those seasons kind of swirl around. So I know I'm where Karen is and I'm where Erin is. But for me right now, the deep as a writer pretty much has to do with this great waiting, great wait. And finding my balance inside of it and finding my hope inside of it, which is kind of what I want to talk about today a little bit, because it's not easy and it's not for the faint of heart. And this thing that we've signed up for is actually very hard. And my experience as a writer started, it will be 5 years that I got serious as a writer. I've been writing for a long time, but got serious in May of 2013 and then signed with you, Karen,
yes,
in October of that same year, 2013. So, and I'm still not published. I'm still waiting. That's just shy of 5 years, folks. And that's a long time. And so for me, the waiting is not just waiting, but it's the learning and the waiting well and the figuring out who I am before the Lord as a writer, even when the industry hasn't, you know, what do you want to say? Hasn't caught up to the fact that God has a plan for me. Sounds well, a little arrogant, but hey.
No, it doesn't sound arrogant. It's actually true because anybody who's in this whole writing gig, they understand that this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. And if you look at all those stories about overnight success, they're overnight success after they've been doing the work for 10, 15, 40 years. There is no such thing as an overnight success. It's about staying the course and being consistent, learning the craft and continuing to move forward. We're all in that waiting room in one way or another.
Yeah. And it's important to me because I've been in the waiting a long time, sometimes when people are quote unquote on the other side,
right,
and they're kind of trying to encourage people to stay the course, there can be a sensitivity in my heart as the hearer of that wants to be a little bit annoyed by the things they say. Like, somehow it rains on the parade and it steals from my dream. And so I, of course, took that to the Lord because that's my deep. Yeah. And I asked him, I said, what is it that I'm supposed to think during this time? And he actually gave me a little bit of insight and I very much have valued it. And it's a couple of things. He said, first of all, that hope is a feeling and that hope is required in order to believe that you're doing the thing that the Lord has called you to do. Mm-hmm. And that hope, what's necessary for hope as a writer is to be able to picture your own success. You have to see yourself with that published book. You have to see yourself with the different things in place. And that's why scripture says when hope is deferred, the heart is sick. But right. When dreams come true at last, it's the tree of life. And so for me, I want to really, my heart for this right from the deep is to be able to say, even if it doesn't seem like your contracts are coming or the opportunities are laying out before you, don't despise the season of building your hope. It's okay to dream. It's okay to paint a future. It's not ego. It's not poor motives. And the Lord is good at balancing the inside of the human heart. He says that he's not surprised by anything that we have inside of us. And right. I'm super grateful for that.
I love what you're saying about hope, because God is our hope. You know, God is the God of hope. It says in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's something that is a gift from God, too. In this waiting time, it's a power of the Holy Spirit thing, too, that we don't have to rely on our own ability to hope.
Thank goodness.
That God, yeah. I know, right? Thank goodness. Right. That God comes in with his Holy Spirit and does this supernaturally for
right.
us.
And understanding that when he gives us a task like this, when he says, I want you to write, that we are entering into that task, but it means that we're entering into the preparation. We're entering into studying and learning as writers, but we're also learning how to be grounded in God and how to let him help us define our dreams so that our dreams come forth as something that he can give a holy amen to and that we can move forward in excitement about that because we know this is a father who loves to delight us. This isn't a God who wants to call us to this task and say, you will never achieve anything. You will never succeed. He's calling us and he's saying, I want to give to you exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you can imagine.
Right. And your words, the way you say that, you know, I think the Lord speaks to each of us in a way that we can hear and he helps us have an expression of what he means with inside of our own, like his, it would be just like the writer's voice. He has a voice inside of each one of us. That's true to scripture, but it's what we can hear. And one of the things he's encouraged me is that my validation comes from him and it's not my validation and my influence is tied to him and his plan for my life. And that contracts and all those opportunities that I'm dreaming about are seasoning to the meal of my validation with him. And he is on time and ahead of time and fully preparing me for the best future for me. And that means that he can teach me skills. And I have a few things that he's actually taught me that I could bring up. But at the same time, it's important that I remember that I don't have to wait for these grand schemes to come together before I can move into the plan he has for me. That it's right now. It's every day. That means one day might be a writing day, but another day it might mean stop being a writer and go visit grandma. You know, it might mean, I'm always, one of the things I talk with Aaron about a lot is these little acts of obedience, the little voices. The Lord gives you little tiny assignments, and those will lead to a greater success in the long run than any kind of effort that I scheme on my own and work doing the work of being a creative.
Right, right.
One of my favorite verses about that is Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. And I think we undervalue the little things, mm-hmm. but it's those little right. things that add up that are so, so incredibly important.
Erin is in the process of training her golden retriever, Leo. And one of the things that I love about working with dogs, especially dogs who are responsive and high in a level wanting to please, like we should be with God, when you see them doing the wrong thing or getting on the wrong path, it takes a small correction and then big praise. And I think that's often how God works with us. He gives us a small correction if we step off the path. But then when we walk in obedience, it's amazing the things that can come as that big praise and say, you got it. You did it. That's terrific.
Right. But it's also in regards to the marathon. If you guys both know me well, you know, I'm a moving, shaking girl, and I hardly let the grass grow under my feet. I'm right. moving all the time. But Karen, when I first met you, my first situation when I was with you, you actually said to me, you said, one thing you're expecting is that my job as an agent is going to create all this opportunity for you. But what you don't know is that there's this hidden expectation that you will have a certain amount of knowledge of the industry. And that knowledge, it's like beyond a master's level of education in this particular area of life. And it will take you somewhere between 5 and 10 years to get that, to gain that. And she goes, and looking at you, I think you're in the 5 year, maybe 3 if you get ants in your pants. You know, that was what you said. And that is true. And it's a quality of life. It's making sure you don't lose your family
right.
in the name of your career. It's making sure that you don't sabotage your sleep or your health in the name of, and it's figuring out what your routine looks like and what you can sustain and maintain when the contracts do come. It's all of that kind of stuff. And those learning experiences take time, and you have to actually be doing the growing and doing the learning and doing the writing in order to gain that. So, but
those
the waiting
are all great
is
great insights, Kara.
The waiting is long. That's all there is to it. It actually happens to be my word for the year. And I think the Lord has a sense of humor when he does that.
Yeah. My life verse fits into this perfectly, which just cracks me up. It's Habakkuk 2:3. And it says, slowly, steadily, surely, the time is coming when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, be patient. It won't be overdue a single day. So...
Well, when the Lord talked to me about waiting at the beginning of the year, he actually used a visual. I'm a bird lover like you two are.
Right.
And I have out my bedroom windows, I have all kinds of feeders. So it looks like, you know, I look like one of the ladies in the park, you know, with pigeon ladies, you know, out there.
Feed the birds.
And, yeah, there you go. And but my daughter has a cat, and he's not a very nice cat. He likes her, but not me. So we, you know, he's all black, and we have all kinds of references for this cat. Well, he sits at the bottom of my feeder and he waits for a perfect time. My birdie buddy, and we call them bird traps instead of bird feeders because that's kind of the essence, right? Well, but he waits. He's constantly watching and waiting. And there's lots of days when he doesn't harvest. But every once in a while, he catches the timing just right and he harvests. And that's the waiting I was expecting from the Lord, is that it would be like I was fine-tuning my attention on the Lord, and then I would see him like an anticipating of his steps like a dance, you know? And I do believe that's the case. But the patience part is also what he's interested in. And I do have a verse I brought. I know you guys do scripture verses through this whole thing. So I actually have my verse that's for me right now in the long wait. I've been out on submission since July 27th. And, you know, it's crickets. There's a little bit of movement, but no.
You guys noticed that she actually knew the actual day. Right?
I thought that was very impressive.
July 27th.
Yeah.
At what time, Carol?
Really? I mean, it was a celebration moment. Those little wins are worth, you know, that's part of the whole, the whole marathon thing is
right.
Figuring out where your encouragement comes from. And it's always in the little things because the big things, they come fast and they go fast.
Yep.
So if you want, I can read you my little
verse. Oh, please do it.
Okay, so I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, which you should link this, Erin. It's amazing. It's a very it's very spicy for us creative types for scripture. And they don't have the full Bible out yet, but they're getting close. This is Psalms 27, verse 14. It says, "Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave, courageous, and never lose hope. Yes, keep waiting, for he will never disappoint you."
Oh, man, I love that.
I love that, too. That's actually one of my memory verses, too. I have a different version, so you guys can hear it in NIV. It says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord."
I love that.
You guys are being medicine to me even today. I'm telling you, this waiting is deep and it's no joke. This morning when I was trying to make sure I had my thoughts collected for this, the Lord reminded me of some experiences that I've had in my own life, like when my husband and I were purchasing houses and when we were dreaming about other seasons. And the one thing he told me is that my dreams and my expectations of what I think the Lord's plans for me have been all through the years pale in comparison to what actually turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like his provision for me, his supply for me, his plan and path for me as a writer will be more than my best imagination. And that's hard because I got a great imagination.
Well, I think that's terrific.
I think it's about trusting God's vision for us instead of our vision for us. And we don't have God's vision. We never can. We can't ever see the whole wide world like he does. And it also goes back to, you know, what you said earlier, God being for us. If God is for us, can we just take a minute and imagine what an amazing, mighty, powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-understanding God has for us. We can't, and we just keep trying to limit to our own imagination because that's more concrete to us than God's. And God is up there going, "Oh, you guys, just hope in me. Just hang with me. Just trust me." And that's my prayer for all of us, you guys, that we would trust in him, exactly what you're saying, Kara, in his plan and his imagination for us, because it's so beyond our own.
Sometimes you think you know things. Sometimes you think you got like that level of education that Karen talked about. Sometimes I think I've hit that and I've arrived. And then all of a sudden you don't know that you didn't know until you get to a new place of knowledge.
Right.
And you know, for me, you know, having raising in the thick of five kids, mine are older now. I have 21 down to 14, and that's and that gets busy. But I would not know my limits as far as what I could handle in the future of my writing stuff if I hadn't gone through the deep waters of that.
Right.
And he knows my best future. He knew that if he had put the book stuff on top of that thick, heavy season with the kids, I might not have flourished. And right. I hate to admit that because I'm a fighter and I just want to be all I get her done, you know. But you were going to say something, Karen?
I was going to say that it's time for us to draw to a close. But if you had one nugget of counsel to give our listeners today about being in the waiting room, what would you share with them?
I would say, do not do it alone.
Yeah, very good.
Come find your company. This Write from the Deep is a legit company. My Author for the Author group is legit company. You got to be around people who understand that you're trying to do this whole writing thing on top of an already full and busy life. And it's intense. And there's times, what will happen is that when you do go through hard times, deep waters, someone else won't be in the deep waters and they'll be able to say things to you that bump you out so that your times that are struggles will be shorter. And so good company comes in lots of different ways, but that's my advice.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara. Thank you so much for being here with us. We have just, it's been a delightful conversation. We'll have to do it again. And everyone out there, I hope that you've enjoyed hearing.
Maybe you'll have news.
I hope you've enjoyed hearing Kara and her wisdom as much as we have.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you found it helpful.
You might also like the backlist episodes, which you can find along with a free audio download, 5 Crucial Ways to Safeguard Your Writer's Heart, at our website, writefromthedeep.com.
If you'd like to support the show, and we would love it if you'd do that, you can contribute through the website.
To connect with us, go to the website or tweet us at KarenBall1, that's the number one, or Aaron T. Young.
So until next time,
embrace the deep.
Your writing and your life will never be the same.
Amen.
Amen.